time to get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
Yep,
good morning. Welcome in. It is Thursday, June the 4th, 2026, and welcome into Sports 56 Mornings. It's 7 o'clock straight up here in the Family Leisure Studios. Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you. No, Greg Gaston. He will make his triumphant return to the program tomorrow here in the Family Leisure Studios. But we've got a big Thursday show to get to before that happens tomorrow to wrap up the week. We are live in the Family Leisure Studios where family and fun come together. That is Family Leisure with summer right around the corner. How about a pool? How about an above-ground pool? Or how about an in-ground pool? Well, they've got all those options for you. They've also got hot tubs, swim spas. They've got your patio furniture needs taken care of. You can get great deals right now for outdoor living at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Coming up on today's program, we had game one of the NBA Finals, and maybe the Knicks are just never going to lose again. Maybe the Knicks are unbeatable. I don't know. Jalen Brunson does it again in the fourth quarter, and the Knicks go into San Antonio, and they steal game one last night. So we will get into that coming up on the program, of course, today. The athletic director at the University of Memphis, Ed Scott, had some interesting things to say yesterday about revenue sharing and where the University of Memphis will be for next season. We'll get into that on the program. The AutoZone Liberty Bowl announced their date and time for their game coming up at the end of this coming college football season. Women's College World Series game one last night was a blowout in the end as Texas easily disposed of Texas Tech, although Mia Williams continues to be amazing as she hits a home run in that game. We crowned a golf national champion on the men's side yesterday as well. And Shohei Ohtani and Christopher Sanchez continue to do some amazing things on the mound. And Ohtani does amazing things at the plate as well. We'll get into all of that as well. We will be talking some NBA draft with Chip Williams, NBA draft analyst, coming up at 8:05 today. Get his thoughts on what the Grizzlies should do, some of the top players, who he has ranked the highest, those types of things. We'll do that with Chip Williams coming up to start our 8 o'clock hour. Then later in the 8 o'clock hour, about 8:25, 8:30, Kerry Miller with his usual Thursday visit, talking some Major League Baseball with Kerry. And then at 9:25 today, Brandon Marcello from CBS Sports, their national college football writer, will join us. We'll be talking about the SEC meetings that he was at last week, his takeaways from that, the hearings yesterday on Capitol Hill about the Protect College Sports Act, and other things that he's got that are going on in the world of college football and college sports. We'll talk with Brandon Marcello coming up at about 9:25 today. If you want to join the program, you can always do so via the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255, 360-8255. That is the phone number where you could call or text us anytime here on the program on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. So as we get rolling, let's say good morning to Mr. Jay Ham. What's up?
What is going on, my man?
Jalen Brunson. That's what's going on.
He took 31 shots to get 30 points, but we don't worry about efficiency at this time of year.
No, and in the fourth quarter, he was efficient.
That's, he was the man.
I mean, it is incredible. He is, when you talk about clutch, that dude defines clutch. And, you know, as you said, for the game, not great, 12 of 31. But in the fourth quarter, 5 for 9 from the field, hits the huge three. Yeah. 2 for 2 at the free throw line, scores 13 points in the fourth quarter. OG Anunoby scored 12 in the fourth quarter. That was really all the Knicks needed, was those two guys in that quarter, and they get the 105-95 win. For the game, Brunson, 30 points, 19 of those coming overall in the second half, and as I mentioned, 13 in the fourth quarter. Karl-Anthony Towns, 18 points, 12 rebounds, and defended Wembanyama very nicely. And Anobi finishes with 17. Wembanyama, 26 points, but just 6 of 21 from the field, including 2 for 9 from three-point range, 12 rebounds, 6 turnovers as well. So 6 of 21 from the field and 6 turnovers for Wembanyama. Stephon Castle, 17 points, 8 rebounds. De'Aaron Fox, 3 for 13 from the field, 7 points. And he, to me, kind of is the weak spot for the Spurs. Like, they need him to be better. And if he's not, like, quite frankly, Dylan Harper should have been playing more in the fourth quarter.
He should have been playing more in the fourth quarter. And I hate that for De'Aaron because it's really just, like, goes back to, like, Mikal Bridges in the earlier series. Shot just not falling.
Yeah.
You know, but it's – and I know he's been on the – was that? But he had an ankle issue.
Yes, that, yes. Yeah.
And I can understand how that could probably be plaguing him as well. He's trying, but it's just not working out for him. I hate that for him.
I mean, he played nearly – basically almost the entire fourth quarter. He played 10 minutes and 57 seconds of the fourth quarter. I don't – Dylan Harper played 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. I don't get it.
Mitch just under and overthought it.
Like, I get one's a veteran and one is the rookie, but Dylan Harper was just playing better than him.
He played better really throughout because he came out with great energy and the whole thing. Dylan was the one that actually got them going and kind of turned the tide in the first quarter. So, but, you know, just game one. I give him that. Just, you know, everybody looked like, with the exception on the Spurs, with the exception of Julian Champagne, looked like it was their first game in the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Yeah, the Spurs in the second half shoot 31.8% and went 2 for 19 from three-point range. And they had 5 turnovers in the fourth quarter of that game. They end up with 13 turnovers overall. The Knicks with just 9 turnovers in the game. For the game, the Knicks didn't shoot it well.
Nah.
41%. They were 11 of 36 from three, but the Spurs 36% overall and 11 of 43 from three-point range. So they didn't. You know, you give the Knicks credit defensively. Karl-Anthony Towns, like they did a really good job against Wembanyama.
DeMichael talked about it yesterday. The fact that Victor will have to come out and honor him on the perimeter because Carl can put it on the floor and go get his own. He doesn't need to be throwing the basketball and set up or do anything like that. He's more of like he moves like a perimeter player.
Yes.
Granted, he's 6'11", and he generally plays on the block, can play back to the basket, but as DeMichael pointed out yesterday, he's the greatest shooting big in the history of this league. And just him taking Victor off the dribble, that gives Victor you're using up more of those legs. Then he's having to deal with Mitchell Robinson and the physical bumping that's coming with that. Size advantages with the Knicks, you know, overall, because you got to think about it. The Spurs are starting a 6'6 dude at power forward.
Yeah.
With Champagne. So, and they're trying to make up for it. And they're making up for it with Victor and their athleticism. It's really, like Jared pointed out on the happy hour yesterday, they're really playing with the small ball lineup with Victor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it kind of catches
they don't,
up.
Yeah, they don't have a power forward.
Right.
Like, you're basically playing 2 point guards and 2 wings.
Right. And they sub in centers and wings.
Yeah. Wembanyama went 2 for 12 in the game when Cat was the primary defender. That according to ESPN. I mean, I give Kat a lot of credit. Again, there are times, and again, he's 22 years old. You always got, like, he's only 22 years old. Right. He's still figuring this stuff out. But there are still times, and there were times last night where you're like there's a couple different times where he went off the dribble and dunked on people.
Yeah.
And you just go,
why not every time?
Why don't you do that every time?
Yeah.
Like, really, what is stopping you from doing that every single time?
I'm asking that question more so than I'm asking him to just post up on the block with his back to the basket because he doesn't really need to do the bumping as far as on the post. It's better for him to face up. He's too skilled to be able to, you know, to not do that anyway, and you can preserve him physically a little bit more if he's able to do that. And just like you just said, 1-2 dribble, he's at the rim. Put it down. You know?
And then, again, if he misses it, he tips it in. You get those types of plays. Again, he can't turn it over 6 times. Like, you can't have the 6 turnovers. And he had the one killer one there late when they were down by, I think, 4.
Right. Stripping.
Yeah. Those are the things that you can't have. But, I mean, obviously, the Spurs are going to win the series. Like, we both predicted they would. Now, we both predicted they would win game one as well. He's got to be better. 6 of 21 with 6 turnovers. Yeah. The same amount of turnovers as field goals for Wembanyama. They aren't winning.
And also, on the other side, we got to give Josh Hart the 15 rebounds and four steals. That's championship activity right there.
Yeah, he doesn't. They don't need him to score much, generally. He doesn't. Now, he did have the one big game in the – that was in the conference finals,
Final.
But the dude is a defender, rebounder. Like, he does that type of stuff.
That's where he stars at, in that role. And you need those kind of guys on – you find those kind of guys on every championship team when you go through history. So, it's working out well for him right now.
And here's the thing. Do the Knicks ever miss a corner three?
I don't think so.
I swear, it doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
When they shoot it from the corner, it feels like they shoot 100%.
With his Bridges, Shamet, Brunson, Hart even at sometimes. Cat can knock him down from out there. McBride, you can go down the whole roster with him. Yeah, I think even Alvarado may have knocked one down from that way,
like, too. That's the one I mean, I don't know. It's just amazing their percentage from the corners. But again, I mean, Brunson, that fourth quarter, it doesn't matter who you – it feels like it doesn't matter who's guarding him, whatever.
You remember I told Greg the same thing. I was like, we were killing him about Harden and the whole thing, but it's like, you could have put really anybody on him. He's cooking them too.
He shoots at such weird angles at times. Like, he does those little scoop shots that, like, high off the glass, and you're like, how – but you're like, man, that's an unbelievable shot, but the dude does it over and over and over again. At some point, you just go, no, like, that's not a difficult shot for him. Like, he's just mastered that shot.
And the one thing he stopped doing just that he was doing in prior seasons, he was getting too far down in the paint, and he would pick his dribble up too soon. You didn't want him to have him over-dribble, but he probably needed to over-dribble so he can make this additional move to create the separation to get, like, the last shot that he made over Vassell.
Yeah.
That, you know, just he needed that to keep his dribble alive, one or two more dribbles just to get that extra separation, that half split, just to get that shot off. And the way he masters angles, him, Kyrie Irving, and Steph Curry can finish the traffic for those guys to be that small. They do it better, I think, than anybody.
After the Knicks had taken that lead in the fourth, and then they went through that stretch where they missed a bunch of shots in a row, and the Spurs came back and caught them. I thought at that point, I was like, Spurs are going to win.
They're going to win it, right.
And then, nope, Jalen Brunson said, no, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. I will not allow that to happen.
And as for as fierce of a competitor as he is very cool in those situations. Yeah. He doesn't get rattled. He just, only time he got rattled was with Scott Foster when Luke Kornet fell on his foot.
Did we ever find out what happened at the end of the game there that had him angry? Like, there was, he was like doing something toward, I don't know what it was. Like, they didn't really address it or talk about it. We never saw any replay. I don't know what exactly it was, but
I saw his walk to the back and he didn't really look at the camera, but the camera really didn't need to look at him either.
and then we, of course, had the idiot fan coming onto the court for the selfie with Wembanyama, which, by the way, how bad was security on that?
Right.
Like, how does that dude get that far?
That deep onto it, right.
I mean, he ran basically, like, the entire floor. Like, the security guard from the other end is, like, he's coming from the end of the court. Like, what? How in the world? Like, I guarantee you that dude, the NBA lost their mind on Spurs security.
And it was funny, too, because Victor's looking at him like, what the hell are you doing? And Miles McBride, I mean, Mitchell Robinson. He looked like he was ready to slug him, but he didn't want to hurt his pinky.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Robinson, you certainly would think, like, he would be the guy who would just, like, take him out. Like, okay, I'll take this guy out. I got no problem. Wembanyama, it almost looked like Wembanyama was actually posing for the selfie, like smiling for the selfie with the guy. Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Guy wants to take a picture? Let's take a picture.
But I'm going to look into more of that Jalen Brunson thing because I was curious about that too. Like, what happened with that?
Yeah, like, I never heard anybody say, like, really what exactly it was that was happened or what he was mad about or whatever. But, the funny thing is, like, I expect the fan to run on the court in New York. Like, I would expect that in New York.
Yeah.
In San Antonio,
right?
I never would have saw that one coming.
But as we think about that, we also have to remember we're in the age of influencers.
Oh, yeah.
And people love to go viral about stupid stuff.
I just couldn't believe, like, how slow security was in, like, reacting to that.
I, like, They were half speed on the pursuit drill in football.
Like the dude literally got out to Victor Wembanyama and was able to stop and start taking a selfie before security got there.
He almost had his focus set and everything.
security, or it's like everybody sleeping? Like, what is going on here? Wake up, dudes. There's a guy on the floor. It was so weird watching. I was like, what is going on right now? What's happening? Why is there dudes running all over? And I'm like, oh, that's actually a fan on the floor who's been out there for a little while.
Security was enjoying the game too much.
Dude was about ready to take a jumper. And they're like, oh, security's like, oh, wait a second. That guy's not supposed to be out there. But nonetheless, Knicks get the win in game one, 105-95, the final score. Again, Brunson going for 30, and they overcome the 14-point deficit in that game. That was the biggest deficit they faced, 14 points. They get the win. Not exactly the 22-point fourth quarter comeback of game one of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Because they knotted that one. They got that one back knotted in the third quarter.
Yeah, they got this one quick, and then they were the ones leading in that fourth quarter and almost blew that lead there late, but then were able to recover thanks to Jalen Brunson. Game two will be coming up tomorrow night in San Antonio, and now that becomes a must-win for the Spurs. You can't lose the first two at home. You lose the first two at home, you are done.
Especially going back to that madhouse in New York.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Spurs have to win tomorrow night, and I would expect that the Victor Wembanyama. We've normally seen Wembanyama, after games where he struggles, come out, be very aggressive.
Set his tone.
Set the tone early, and the Spurs have been very good in those games.
And they, as a team, generally make better, you know, adjustments coming off of the loss, coming back into the next game, too. So I'm thinking the same thing as well. And I don't envision them going down 0-2 under any circumstance tomorrow night.
Again.
Even if they need a little referee assistance, whatever the case may be.
The Knicks have won 12 straight games, though. I mean, it's like, I keep thinking, all right, now they're going to lose.
At some point, right.
But they don't. They just keep on winning. It's absolutely amazing. 12 straight wins now for the Knicks in the postseason. Last night in the Women's College World Series, game one of the finals, Texas, all over Texas Tech. 7-3 the final. They scored 5 in the first. Texas Tech scored 1 in the top of the first, but Texas responded with 5. That was over at that point in time. So the Longhorns can wrap up a second straight national championship tonight. Although, White Chocolate's daughter, Mia, did it again. Another home run for Texas Tech. That girl, I think it was her 27th or something like that. That girl she just keeps on hitting.
I had that one on the laptop while I had the game on the television, and it was just kind of keeping close. But then eventually I kind of faded away when Texas went up, I think, with like 5-1.
Yes, 5-1 after
then
inning.
I came back and I saw her hit her home run. I was like, oh, there she is.
5-1 after the first inning in a softball game might as well be 30-1. Like, right. It's just hard to come back in that, and especially with the pitchers that you're dealing with at this level. Auburn wins the men's golf title. They knocked off UCLA yesterday. They get their second title in 3 years. Also yesterday, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. We were just out at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl Golf Classic on Monday. And they got their date and time for their game coming up this season. It will be actually next year. It'll be after the new year once again. It'll be on January 2nd, 2027. It will be a primetime game. It'll be 6:30, and it'll be on ABC. So they get a Saturday night primetime game, which is a great time slot. Saturday night, January 2nd, primetime, 6:30, and it will be on ABC. Also out of college football. Interesting little note that NC State and Virginia were supposed to play in Brazil. They announced yesterday that, that's not going to happen. They're instead going to play that in Charlottesville. It'll be a home game for Virginia. According to the statement, the people, I guess, putting on the game said that the event could not be conducted. I assume that means that people weren't buying enough tickets. And so, therefore, we're not going to play it there.
Makes sense. It sounds like it makes sense to me.
We decided that it couldn't be conducted because fans didn't want to.
Fans weren't interested.
Yeah, that due to a lack of interest, this event cannot be conducted as planned. So we will go to Charlottesville, where we believe Virginia fans will actually buy tickets for the game to see it, and therefore we will have a crowd at the game. But that was a little interesting note. And also from the NFL, officially Russell Wilson. Talked about the other day, there was the report from Adam Schefter that he would be joining CBS Sports. Russell Wilson officially retires from the NFL. Again, certainly doesn't mean that if a quarterback gets hurt in the middle of the year, there won't be talk about Russell Wilson returning. But as of now, he is retired and assume he will indeed join CBS Sports. But and I'll tell you what, you mentioned it the other day when the whole trade went down with the Rams. There continues to be a lot of talk about Aaron Donald, and right. He keeps talking about the fact that he is certainly thinking about making the return. If Aaron Donald does come back, Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald on the same defensive line?
As Mick Jagger once said, grown men will cry.
I mean, I don't know what Aaron Donald has left.
I think he got a whole lot.
I would assume he's got something left.
I mean, he's still working out like he's active.
Yeah, the dude is, yeah, I mean, a freak physically. So, like, yeah, I wouldn't doubt at all that he's got some left.
Any dude that trains, like, you know, by catching knives, like, you know.
And maybe it's not 17 games, but if in the middle of the year that dude decides, you know what, I certainly got 8 or 9, maybe 10 games in me.
I mean, it's like Michael Strahan's last year. He was like, I'll come back if I don't have to come to camp.
Yeah.
That could be the concession right there.
Dude, if you get anything of close to Aaron Donald and Myles Garrett on the same defensive line, oh, my goodness, that would be nasty. Going to be a nice day once again today. There will be some combination of some sun, mostly sun, I think, some clouds. Highs in the upper 80s again, right around 87 degrees. Humidity's back up a little bit. Not as bad as it was earlier in the week, but a little bit more humid than we had yesterday. Right now, we sit at 66 degrees with a feels-like temperature of 70 degrees. Today and tomorrow look about like they're going to be carbon copies of each other. Same type stuff, a mixture of sun and clouds, highs of the upper 80s. But then the rain, it looks like, is going to be coming in this weekend. It looks like there's a pretty good chance of rain coming in for the weekend, both Saturday and for Sunday. We'll keep our fingers crossed and hope that does not happen to ruin the weekend. When we come back, Dr. Ed Scott yesterday, he made an appearance on a show on the other station here in town. And had some interesting stuff about where Memphis will be in revenue sharing for next year. Very good news. But some of it that just I don't quite understand. It doesn't make sense to me really whatsoever. We'll get into that. And if you want to join the program, if you got some comments on the finals game one from last night or anything else, you can always hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 901-360-8255. That's 901-360-8255. Just getting going on this Thursday morning. Sports 56 mornings here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
I was just looking on Twitter, Deadspin, they have the video from the guy who ran on the court. They have his video. That dude literally ran from the second row of the baseline. He came out and ran to the other free throw line.
Yeah, there was some security that was told they were no longer needed around there.
I mean, it literally, so you can see that it's 11 seconds of video before security gets to him.
That's too much.
What?
Anything can happen in those 11 seconds.
Yes. Yeah, dude, that is a security breakdown. 11 seconds that dude was on the floor. I can't tell. He's got something on his shirt, like, written. I don't know if it's some sort of, supposed to be some sort of message. I can't read it.
I couldn't read it either. I noticed it, too.
I don't know what it says, because he's got a jacket on, like, blocking part of it. So I don't know what exactly it says. But, yeah, it's you got 11 seconds of video before the security gets to him. Man, oh, man, that is absolutely awful. Ron texts in, says, the Knicks are carrying on like they did in the East. Spurs may be in trouble. For one night, they carried on just like they did in the East. That's for sure. Jalen Brunson carried on like he did in the East, and they get the win there. And we'll see if the Spurs can answer in game number two. So yesterday, Dr. Ed Scott, athletic director of University of Memphis, was on a show over on the other station, and he talked about very openly about where Memphis is going to be for next year in revenue sharing. And he said they will be at the full max level, which for next year is going to be 21 point something, probably 21.5, somewhere in that range, $1 million in rev share, not any NIL, but that's the rev share, which that is awesome. It is believed that Memphis and USF will be the only two group of six schools who will be at the full rev share level. That's what the popular belief is. Now, there will be one or two others, but there aren't going to be many. It's really hard for a group of six school to be able to get to $21 million in rev share. Like, that's... I'm actually...
It's kind of shocking that Memphis is in there.
I'm surprised. I am really surprised. Now, as he said, if they don't get into a power conference, they will not be able to maintain that level for more than probably a couple of years. But I'm stunned, honestly, that they are able to get there. So kudos to them for getting to whoever, for who the people giving that money, everything else, like figuring this out, a way to get there. That is absolutely awesome that they are able to get to that level. He also talked about, in particular, the sports. And this is where it gets, I am baffled by this. He said that basketball will have $9 million for rev share this coming year. He said last year they were at 4.99 and they will be up at 9. So nearly doubling their rev share. And he did say that the 4.99 last year was tops in the American Conference for basketball. Again, I mean, that's awesome. Fantastic that you're able to do this. But then he said that football's only at $7 million. I am very confused by that. If you look, again, we don't know exact numbers because these schools don't give it out. And that's like amazing that he is out there. And again, saying that you're at full rev share, certainly that's something as a group of six school, you want that out there. Like, that's great. Like, hey, listen, dude, we're doing not only just for athletes to know you got the money, but you're trying to get into a power conference. Like, look what we are doing. We are at full rev share right now. So we're doing this thing. But you don't get these actual numbers by sport, especially from really anybody. But the common formula that people kind of talk about is generally with the schools that are the power conference schools, it's probably around 70%, 70% at least towards football. Well, with these numbers, Memphis is 33% to football. That's $7 million out of 21. It's only 33% towards football and giving more to basketball than football, which I understand the basketball program at the University of Memphis the history, everything else. There's certainly way more history than the football program at the University of Memphis. But we also know that football is king in this whole situation. Right now, football is king. If you want to get into a power conference, which we know they do, they make that quite clear. And they've talked about 27, 28. They believe there's going to be some reshuffling. And they're trying to put themselves in the best position to get into a power conference at that time. I don't understand why you would be giving more revenue sharing money to basketball than football.
When you announced that it was $21 million and $9 was going to basketball, I automatically assumed that the remaining $12 was going to football.
Now, I will say this. Now, maybe there is a ton of NIL money for football. So they're making it up there, whatever. I don't see any way they're making up that the amount of money. Like, it's not even that those two should be switched. Again, football should probably be, if you're doing the full rev share, I mean, you should probably be at 12, 13, probably at least for football. I just don't understand why you would give more to basketball than football. Because even if your basketball team, because here's the deal. Even at $9 million, again, you're clearly at this point, I don't know who's would, I guess probably it would probably be USF because they're at full level. I don't even know what number two in the American's going to be for basketball rev share. But it's good. Again, if you were number one last year at 4.99 and you've nearly doubled that, you're going to be, so great. So it, you would hope that it wins you the American Conference. But then you're competing with schools who are going to be spending $15 to $20 million on the roster. So really on the national level, how competitive does it make you, even doing $9 million? And again, in the grand scheme of things, how much does basketball matter in your ultimate goals? We know football does.
Football is going to lead you to the power conference.
Yes, 100%. Basketball, basketball doesn't matter in that. Like, it's your football program has to be good. And here's the thing also. Last year, you say quite clearly you were number one in the American Conference at $4.99 million for basketball. What did that get you? I gotta look this up to remember. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8th place. Your ticket sales, you had a, what did they announce? Like a $1.2 million basically deficit from what they budgeted to what they actually sold in tickets.
Yep.
I'm very confused by this thing. Why would you do this for basketball? Why not put that towards football?
And the first thing that I thought about, it was like, this is what it was like growing up as well. You know, it was like nothing was there for football. You saw Tiger football was like destitute.
Yeah.
It was rough, man.
And that's the thing. Like, it's clearly they're doing more for football. It used to be literally all of it. There is, again, there's $7 million for football. And he said they want to get football to $10 million next year. But I just don't, again, unless there's a bunch of NIL money there that somehow like millions upon millions of dollars in NIL money that is all going to football. And so that's bringing football up total for the roster. I just don't know how this would make sense.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. It's...
There's no way in the world any school would give more to basketball. No. I would wonder what Duke is in their revenue sharing for basketball and football.
Or with UConn, since they're independent.
Yeah.
You know, like, how does that, you know, which I can imagine what it's probably not, but Yeah, like you said, with a Kansas. You know what I'm saying? Just, the general basketball powers that we already know as such.
But again, those schools aren't trying to get into a power conference.
This is true.
Memphis is, and football's the one that's going to get you there. So I don't know. Like, that thing just confused the heck out of me. And Tiger Steve texts in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255. He says, more for basketball because they're trying to sell tickets because of what they owe the Grizzlies against them owning the Liberty Bowl. Well, that Grizzlies contract is different now, and I don't know exactly what it is, but it's not about, well, even in the day, it wasn't about them owing the Grizzlies. It was about how much money they would get from the Grizzlies. But again, and saying that you're at $9 million for basketball in revenue sharing, I don't think that's making people go, oh my gosh, I got to buy tickets then. Because, again, you just said you were number one in spending last year in the conference, and people watched you go 8-10 in the conference. So they're not going to be like, oh, we're spending that much money? We're going to be awesome. They're going to say, well, let me see it. Like, I need to see that we're going to be good with this. Right, I want to see. And I'll tell you this. Like, does this roster look like a $9 million roster to you? Like, are you looking at this roster and going, oh my gosh, yeah, this team looks awesome? We don't know. Like, they certainly, I think it's a better roster than last year's, mm-hmm, construction-wise. They kind of checked the boxes. But I don't think you're looking at this roster and going, wow, this is a Sweet 16 type team. Yeah. Again, you very well will win the American Conference, but so what? Like, if you're out in the first round of the tournament, is that worth $9 million to go out in the first round of the NCAA tournament?
All right. I mean, we can't look at the revenue shares like, oh, okay, well, then that's a good recruiting tool, because we really don't know what we're going to get as far as the product that's going to be on the floor. We don't know what that's going to look like.
And then he said another thing, too, about, he was talking about Penny Hardaway. And he said, which I will give, at least he did say, oh, I have not talked to him at all about an extension. Good. I mean, obviously, there's no need to be giving extensions right now after an 8-10 season.
Right.
In the conference and finishing eighth. He said, I want him to focus on what he's doing. I retained him because I thought some of these tools would help Penny be more successful. Well, yes, obviously, you would hope that doubling his money would help him be more successful. I figured that if we put these things around him, we could really assess how good Penny Hardaway is as a coach. I think this year will be a much better barometer of how good of a coach Penny is, from building a roster to managing that roster on the court. Why? Why was last year not a good barometer? Again, he had the number one budget in the conference, and he finished eighth. So why wasn't that a barometer at all?
Good question.
I don't know. Like, I don't get why you're giving him. We just thought giving him more money would give us a better barometer. Well, he had the most money in the conference, and it got nowhere. Now, he's got different assistant coaches, but that's happened year after year after year. Yeah. Like, so why do we believe this is the one? That, like, all of a sudden, now this staff is the one that really gives us the barometer of what he is as a coach. I don't know. I don't get it. I think it is idiotic to give more money to basketball than football.
I agree with you.
I just don't.
Especially with the goal that you have in mind.
Yes.
They're trying to move up and upgrade into another, into a power conference. Yeah, it is.
And if the football program was like dominant right now, and you're like, no, it's rolling, like we're good. Like, it's not. Like, you need it. You're trying to get it to the top of the conference. And if USF is fully at the level of full level rev share, I guarantee you where all their money's going. I guarantee you that is a much higher percentage to football.
Without question.
I don't know. I just that one baffles me, man. I get it. I know basketball means a ton in this city. I know that basketball program means a ton for this city. I know it means a ton for that university. And in years past, it was the thing at the University of Memphis. But this is a different world, man. Times have changed, and you have a goal. You have a goal that you have made quite clear of what you're trying to do in basically the next 2 years. They keep throwing out 2028. So you got 2 years. And I don't know where the $7 million for football, where that puts them in the conference. Again, most of these schools in this conference, they may not be spending $7 million total in rev share. I don't know. I don't know where they all are. But if you've got the full level and you're not dedicating the majority of that to football, it makes no sense.
At all.
Keith texted, he says, the leadership in the athletic department in Memphis has been less than stellar for a long time. Our problem started with R.C. Johnson and John Calipari giving all the money to John and nothing to the football program. And this is why we are where we are now. They don't learn anything from their past mistakes.
Tommy West said it best as well. You got to put more in the football if you really want this
and
thing again, to
and
take.
They did. Like they, I listen. They have done a bunch. Like Tom Bowen and them, like came in and you know they've put money. They've paid coaches. Yeah. They've done things. They've certainly have done more with the football program. And it is a much better program than it was then.
Absolutely.
But this one, I just don't see how you can give more. Just first of all, off of pure roster numbers, the idea that basketball would have a bigger budget for 15 guys than football has for
75.
Well, maybe. I mean, if we're talking about guys who actually like
that actually
you
play,
need 22 though, yeah. on the field to play,
and then they're gonna need somebody to back them up just in case for injuries and the whole deal. So we'll say 50.
Like theoretically, basketball could get by with like
eight
guys that you're really paying.
No.
Football, you need more than that, obviously. So just off pure numbers, you would say, well, yeah, that's why we need a bigger percentage to football, because we got a lot more guys that need to be paid than basketball has. So we'll see. I'll tell you this. Certainly if they miss the NCAA tournament, I mean, God, which but we said the same thing last year. Like, how the hell could they possibly not win this conference? Well, they finished eighth. If they miss the NCAA tournament, spending $9 million on a basketball team in the American Conference, then there has to be no question whatsoever.
Oh, the jig is up.
The penny is out.
Yeah.
You can't. You think this, if this is going to be the barometer, if they miss the NCAA tournament, he should be fired. When they lose in the conference tournament at that point, and everybody knows at that point they're probably – well, especially you got an expanded tournament as well. You can't – like you, if you miss the NCAA tournament this year, he should be fired on the floor walking off – after the conference tournament loss.
So you made it even worse when you reminded everybody that like the tournament field expanded. So it's like no excuse.
At that point, if you can't, with $9 million in the American Athletic Conference in a 76-team NCAA tournament, if you can't make the tournament, then there should be there can be no debate. There absolutely is no debate whatsoever at that point. You have to make the change with your head coach. And the thing is, again, if you make the NCAA tournament and you lose in the first round, was that $9 million worth it? That is a confusing thing to me. Giving more money to basketball than football seems, quite frankly, insane. It really does. That is, again, maybe there's a bunch of NIL money there that's going to football. But that one just does not make sense to me. We'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one right after the Sports 56 mornings here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, 7:50 the time, here at the Family Leisure Studios. This hour is indeed brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery, downtown Memphis. They're on Front Street. Go on by, check them out. And I recommend taking the tour of the place. It's fun, cool place to take a little tour of, see the whole process, see everything they make there. And have a little cocktail or two as well while you're there at Old Dominic. The college baseball super regionals will be getting underway tomorrow. We'll have Ole Miss and Auburn right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Tomorrow night's game, a 7 o'clock game, 6:30 pregame. They'll play at 4 o'clock on Saturday. And then if the Sunday game is needed, they will announce that time at a later date. North Carolina is now the favorite to win the College World Series after, of course, UCLA, the number one seed, Georgia Tech, the number two seed, were both knocked out of the tournament. Georgia, who was the number three overall seed, they are actually right now third in the odds. You got North Carolina at plus 375, Texas at plus 450, and Georgia at plus 475. And then you get Auburn at plus 525. Mississippi State is plus 600. Alabama plus 1,800, 18-1. Ole Miss is 25-1 to win the College World Series. So if you think that the Rebels have gotten hot again, they're in the Super Regional for the first time since they won it all in 2022. But if you think the Rebels have gotten hot and think they got a chance to make the run, well, you could get them right now at 25-1. The worst odds, St. John's at 200-1. Little Rock is 150-1. St. John's 200-1. No surprise. They are the four seeds. They were the four seeds who advanced. If you're just looking at regional odds, Ole Miss is a plus 160 against Auburn, who's minus 200. Mississippi State against Georgia. Georgia a minus 160 favorite in that super regional. Mississippi State at plus 130. And I think that's probably what hurts why Georgia, either the number three overall seed or third in the odds, is because they've got such a good opponent in the super regional in Mississippi State. So their road is a little bit tougher. And that's why, like, you look at Auburn and Ole Miss, the fact that they've got to play in a super regional hurts their odds because it's a tougher road for those two to try and get through. Not only just get to Omaha, they got to get to Omaha, and then obviously what you deal with when you get to Omaha. Last night in Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani again. Six innings, two hits, no runs, six strikeouts. Oh, by the way, went 3-for-4 at the plate as well. Just throw that in there. Just a little 3-for-4 night at the plate. His ERA now is down to 0.74. And again, right now, probably at best, would be third in Cy Young voting.
I think that man's going to have a bunch of people in L.A. naming their kids Shohei. All different ethnicities and everything. It's a bunch of Shohei Jacksons, Shohei Rodriguez. It's coming through.
The dude's ERA is 0.74. Christopher Sanchez finally gave up a run. His streak got to 50 2/3 innings. It's the third longest scoreless inning streak of the live ball era, so going back to 1920. 50 2/3, the Padres finally scored against him last night. I mean, that's, again, silly stuff. 50 2/3 scoreless innings. He did win pitcher of the month for May over Mizorowski. So Jacob Mizorowski, I'll tell you this, no pitcher in the history of the game has had a better month than Jacob Mizorowski had in May without winning pitcher of the month. It's impossible. The dude was insane for the month of May, but Christopher Sanchez was insaner. Is that a word? I don't think that's a word.
It is now.
He was more insane. Let's say he was more insane. I mean, just, again, some of these pitchers, what they're doing right now, it's crazy. And Rob Manfred talked yesterday. We're going to get into a lot more of this with Kerry Miller, but he says that the luxury tax system they have in place now has failed. Again, this is all posturing in order to try and get an actual salary cap in this collective bargaining agreement. I don't think it's going to work. I think we are headed for a lockout. But he talked about the luxury tax system has not created the competitive balance that they would like for it to have done. So therefore, that's why, again, they're looking for that salary cap to do that rather than the luxury tax system that is currently in place. Coming up in hour number two, we will talk with Kerry Miller. That'll be towards the bottom of the hour. But to lead off hour number two, we are going to get into the NBA draft. We're going to talk Grizzlies. We're going to talk prospects. Chip Williams, NBA draft analyst, NBA draft expert. We've had him on in the past to talk draft. He does a fantastic job. He will join us to kick off hour number two as we get into that. This hour of the program has been brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Go check them out. They're on Front Street in downtown. Coming up, Chip Williams kicks off hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.